before you drink. What you get isn't always what you think.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
Well, don't settle for the first, for it might be the worst.
Hello and welcome to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell. This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. And as always, thanks to Recess Duty for playing us in with our theme song. So let's get started with this month's beer news. Tickets for this year's Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival are still on sale at the festival website, www.kenaibeerfest.com. The festival is produced by the Soldotna Rotary Club, and all proceeds go to support local Rotary projects. This year's festival will happen on Saturday, August 11th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Soldotna Sports Center. From 5 to 6 p.m. is the Connoisseur Hour, which will be limited to 200 participants. This hour will feature at least one special beer from each brewery, unlimited samples, a commemorative glass, and admission into the general festival, and 8 4-ounce sample tokens for the general festival. Connoisseur tickets are $50. The general admission session will run from 6 to 9 p.m. $30 general admission tickets will include a commemorative glass and 8 4-ounce sample tickets. Additional sample tickets may be purchased at the event. 2 samples for $3 or 12 for $15. The live music lineup this year will be the Pepper Shakers, the Spirit Daddies, and Great American Taxi. There will also be numerous food trucks at the festival. Admission will be limited to 1,200 and the festival routinely sells out, so buying your tickets in advance is a smart move. On Sunday, April 12th, the Brewery to Bathroom 0.5K, that's correct, 0.5K, The Race for the Rest of Us will be held in Soldotna. This is a fundraiser for the American Cancer Society Relay for Life of the Kenai Peninsula. This is the race for you non-racers out there. Registration will begin at 11 a.m. at the Kenai River Brewing parking lot. The race begins at 11:30 a.m. and will go from Kenai River Brewing to the Soldotna Creek Park bathrooms and back. There will be refueling stations and rest breaks throughout the 0.31-mile course. The after party will be held at Kenai River Brewing at approximately noon. A $20 donation per individual is requested for registration, or a $50 donation for a family registration, which will cover 2 adults and 2 children. It's $5 for each additional child. A $30 donation will secure you a couch-to-couch registration. Stay home and get the swag from the race in the mail for the ultimate lazy race experience. Turnagain Brewing Company, which occupies the former home of King Street Brewing in Anchorage, held its grand opening on July 14th. On July 9th, 49th State Brewing Company announced that it was the recipient of 4 2018 Best of Alaska Business Awards. 49th State was selected as Best Brewery, Best Restaurant, Best Corporate Meeting or Event Space, and Best Place to Work in the size 1 to 250 employees, as voted by the Alaska Business Magazine readers. To determine the 2018 Best of Alaska Business Award winners, readers voted in an online survey that ran from February through April on the Alaska Business website. Readers were also invited to vote on the magazine's Facebook and Twitter pages, in the Alaska Business Digital Edition, and through email. Quote, "We are once again overwhelmed by the support from our neighbors and community in Anchorage. We are proud to serve you and are daily reminded that choosing downtown Anchorage to grow our business was the best decision. We would like to thank our employees who are the heart of our business. We love our team, our work, and our community. Thank you." says 49 States CEO David McCarthy. At the National Homebrew Competition, Brian Hall of Anchorage's Great Northern Brewers Homebrew Club won third place in category number 23, European Sour Ale with a Fruit Lambic. This is quite an accomplishment, as the competition between homebrewers at the national level is quite fierce. Barnaby Brewing of Juneau's Rausch Beer placed second in the smoked beer category of the U.S. Open Beer Championships. The Rausch beer was originally brewed for the I'll Have Another tent at the Haynes Brewfest, and ironically was the only beer that survived the fire at the brewery last April. The brewery is still working to reopen after the fire. Bleeding Heart Brewery of Palmer was chosen as the best place to have a drink by the readers of the Matsu Valley Frontiersman newspaper as part of its annual Best of the Valley poll. Award-winning beer from the Last Frontier is coming all the way from Alaska to Nebraska this summer, as beer from the Alaskan Brewing Company will begin to be distributed in the state in early August. Quote, "Bringing Alaskan brewing into the market in Nebraska is something we've been looking at for years now," said Andy Klein, communications manager at Alaskan. "There are a number of things that we Alaskans have in common with Nebraskans. Our shared passion for independence, our rugged spirit and sense of adventure, and our connection to the land that we call home. The story of our brewery and its beginnings, young entrepreneurs striking out on their own looking for adventure and to build a life together in a wild place, is one that we know the people of Nebraska will understand, and we are thrilled to bring a little bit of Alaska to Nebraska in every bottle of our beer," end quote. Starting at the beginning of August, beer drinkers across Nebraska will begin to see Alaskan Amber, White, Husky IPA, Hopthermia Double IPA, Kolsch, Smash, Galaxy Double IPA, and Frontier Variety Packs on shelves. Nebraska marks the 22nd state where Alaskan brewing is distributed. The enthusiasm for Alaskan beer in Nebraska is illustrated in no better way than the Facebook group Nebraskans for Alaskan Beer that has advocated for Alaskan to come to the Cornhusker State for years. Those dedicated fans that have been making beer runs out of state and documenting backyard barbecues and celebrations will now be able to find their favorite brew throughout Nebraska. That's it for this month's news. Coming up next, we'll have an interview with Grant Utrinka of Resolution Brewing. This is your host, Bill Howell, on Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna.
Have you ever wondered how much fish we sell on the Kenai, or how much oil comes from here, what it's all worth, and what it all means? Well, we have too. That's why we created Econ 91.9, a weekly look at the Kenai Peninsula's economy, what makes it work, and who makes it work. Tune in each Friday at 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. for new numbers, emerging trends, and a bit of trivia. Econ 91.9, Friday mornings at 9 and again at 5, right here on KDLL, public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. And for our first interview this month, we're going to be talking to Grant Utrinka, the owner of Resolution Brewing in Anchorage. Grant, how you doing today?
I am well, Bill. Thank you. But one slight correction. I'm a co-owner, not the full owner.
Co-owner. Okay. Thank you for that correction. Resolution's been open for, I guess, what, two, 3 years now?
We celebrated our third anniversary towards the end of March this year.
Okay. 3 years. So how did you end up in the beer game?
Well, I've been a home brewer for many, many years, and I spent a career in the seafood industry as well as telecommunications, and retirement was not a great option for me, and buying into Resolution passed in front of me, and I jumped at it.
Well, so you actually think you're going to make money at this, huh? You're one of the optimists out there.
Well, you know, the best way for a brewery owner to make $1 million or to have $1 million is to start with $2 million.
Yes, that's what I've heard. For those who aren't familiar with Resolution, why don't you describe your operation a little bit?
We're a small brewery, certainly the smallest in Anchorage. We're in Mountain View, and Mountain View has been reputed in the last few years to be the most diverse community in America. There's several different languages spoken within a mile radius of us. We are close to the military base and close to downtown. and Airport Heights. So we pride ourselves on quality beer and a, quote, chill atmosphere.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with the chill atmosphere. That's a very nice tap room you've got there with the roll-up door in the back and everything.
Thank you.
Very laid back. So why don't you tell folks a little bit about, for want of a better word, your philosophy of beers, what kind of beers that you like to offer, and stylistically where you guys fall?
Well, the Belgian beers were kind of the foundation to start it with. We're very proud of the Belgian triple that we do. We typically have a Saison on tap. Obviously, we want one or two IPAs. Our neighborhood IPA, named after the neighborhood of Mountain View, is by far and away our most popular beer. We always like to have a stout or a porter on. And then we kind of throw it out to the brewers to be creative and come up with different stuff. Right now we have a nice Kolsch on. We have about 8 beers on tap right now.
Is that a typical number that you try and keep on?
So when I got involved with the brewery, which was nearly 2 years ago, you know, the mantra was 3 things. 1, great beer. If you're going to be in the beer business, the beer needs to be great or you shouldn't be in the beer business, right? Secondly, a good selection of beer in the tap room all the time. 6 to 8 beers all the time. And we generally have 7 to 9. And like I said, we've got a Saison, a triple, 1 or 2 IPAs, sometimes a lager, a stout, a porter. Our 9th tap is a nitro tap. So we just want to keep changing it up and use a lot of creativity to keep craft in craft brewing. And then thirdly, we want friendly, knowledgeable customer service. Somebody can know everything about beer but not be customer friendly and people don't want to have the beer. Or they can know nothing about beer and be very cheerful. But people that come into a tap room want to talk to somebody who knows something about beer. So we've tried to, you know, really up the level of education of our servers.
So obviously your focus is really heavy on your tap room. I honestly don't remember. Is your beer on tap anywhere else in town?
We are on tap different places around town. We've been at a few of the Three Bears locations in their liquor stores. We have a handle for the last almost year at Spinard Roadhouse with one of our Saisons. We're often at the Hearth, and then we're in the Humpies group often as well. And people kind of like our beer because, you know, a lot of people are making really good beer, whether it's King Street, Midnight Sun, Denali Brewing, or Alaskan Brewing. It's all quality beer, but the feedback we get is we can get those 4 beers anywhere in town. We like buying yours because it's unique and it's still local.
Yeah, that's, I think, is a real selling point these days. Folks are looking more and more towards wanting to purchase something that has a real, like you say, local sense of place kind of idea. So you're selling most of your stuff out of the tap room. Is it strictly growlers, or have you guys started doing anything with crowlers or anything like that?
We've looked a lot at crowlers. We haven't made that investment yet. We've looked a little bit at doing 12 to or 16 ounce cans like a crowler machine, which is more affordable for us and our small brewery. The concern is, of course, if somebody gets a 12 or 16 ounce beer, they think that it's got a longer shelf life. And once you oxygenate the beer, then it starts to deteriorate after that. So we don't want to give the wrong impression and somebody open it up a year later and it doesn't have the quality we desire.
Mm-hmm. So given the fact that you're pretty much exclusively focused on your tap room, I assume you have some fairly strong thoughts on the recent unpleasantness surrounding SB 76 and the attempts to change it?
Well, so SB 76 is an interesting animal, and I had a pretty strong op-ed piece in the Anchorage Daily News when the House, I believe it was Finance Committee, no, it wasn't even House, it was Labor. And Commerce recommended or made the motion to lower the serving limit to 24 ounces from 36 ounces. That op-ed piece put me a little bit in the limelight with several different bar owners, et cetera. And through that process, I've become more educated on the whole bill. The bill was a very complex bill. It was over 100 pages. It was first brought up 6 or 7 years ago, and it was Health and Human Services that was trying to kind of reform Title IV and rewrite, you know, the liquor laws for the better. I didn't see it until about a little over a year ago, and it increased our fees and licensing to the state significantly, so I wasn't really for it. But as a business owner, percentage-wise, it was astronomical, real dollars. It was significant, but if I'm not able to afford a couple thousand dollars more in any given year, well, I'm probably not going to survive anyway. So I kind of stayed quiet on it because it was 6 years of compromise between Health and Human Services, bar owners, liquor store owners, as well as brewery folks. There was a provision in there to make all new breweries distribute 80% of their beer and only sell 20% in their tap room after a period of time. And the brewers said that's not good for the industry, and that provision was pulled out. And again, there's ambiguity of Char and the bar owners would say it was up front, the brewers agreed to it. The brewers would say, no, it came in at the 11th hour, we never agreed to that. What the truth is, I have no idea. And I'm not trying to be an apologist for the bar owners, but having sat down and spoken with several of them, although I disagree with their points are not without any merit at all. And I think if we're going to get the good things through the legislature, the brewers and the Char members are going to have to come to some sort of a compromise in the end, and I'm not sure where that will land.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that in the sense that everybody's going to have to give a little, but I would also say that negotiations need to happen up front. My understanding, once again, I'm kind of like you. I've only been involved in this or looking at it for the last year and a half. I thought that the whole reason that it took 5 years basically to get to the legislature of negotiations was that in the end, everybody said, okay, this is what we can all agree on and jump off, you know, join hands and jump off the cliff together with. And that's what makes things disconcerting when things get changed in the legislative process.
Right. Know? And Senator Machiki from your area, I think, has done a commendable job trying to put the bill forward and trying to, you know, serve all the users, be it Health and Human Services, be it the bar owners, or be it the breweries. And again, I wasn't in on the conversation, so I don't know what the brewers agreed to or what the bar owners agreed to. I know the original bill, SB 76, had the 80-20 in there. The brewers had it removed, which I think was a good thing. And then what happened in the House, I don't believe was necessarily Char trying to hijack the bill. I think it was Char just trying to kill the bill, which obviously they very effectively did. And perhaps they were even surprised by the public support that the breweries got from that change.
Yeah, I think things did mobilize pretty quick in the 4 or 5 days from when that happened to when Senator Machiki pulled the bill. So I think they could see where the groundswell was heading. So, well, hey, that's enough about politics. Let's get back to beer, which is a little more pleasant. Got anything new, special that you'll be releasing in the next few weeks?
Well, you know, we're tiny. So, you know, we have the ability to adjust pretty quick. We've got some pretty cool things going. We've got a rye saison that we're souring, authentic sour along with Brett yeast. We've got a Belgian quad in a red wine barrel going. We've got a Belgian wit in another red wine barrel. We've got a Burton ale in a bourbon barrel.
Oh, that sounds
and
really good.
And we've got a barley wine in bourbon barrels. So the wit and the Burton should take a little less time to age properly. But the quad and the barley wine, we're looking at, you know, probably releasing sometime near the first of the year.
Well, that is barley wine season.
Correct.
Yeah. No, you had me at Burton Ale, Grant.
Well, you know, most people aren't familiar with the Burton Ale.
Yeah, well, my listeners are because a month before last, I think we talked about this as a style. So hopefully some of the people listening will remember when we covered that.
And remember, we're tiny, so we only have a barrel of it.
Right. Have you got a particular favorite among all your beers that you brew?
You know, like most people, I tend to, most craft beer drinkers, you know, and the numbers would support it, I tend to lean towards IPAs, but so much of it depends on weather and mood and everything else. I mean, the Kolsch that we have on, a light, refreshing beer in the summer, is absolutely wonderful. We have a nonstop session ale. We call it nonstop for the nonstop days of summer. Most Belgian drinkers and IPA drinkers don't cross spectrums very well, but being in the business, I have a healthy appreciation for, you know, the total spectrum.
I'm with you. You know, as I tell people, there are many mansions in the beer house and beer heaven, so there's a lot of different things to try, and they're all good in their own way. A final question for you, Grant. If there was one thing that you could personally tell everybody who walks through the front door of your place when they come in for the first time, what would you want to tell them?
I guess I would just say enjoy the experience. I hope you enjoy the beer. I hope you enjoy the atmosphere. Please ask us any questions. We try and be informative. Being small, we try to be cozy. I tell people Resolution Beer is where you come to meet friends and meet new friends. It's small, so it gives us the opportunity for people to interact. And, you know, like I say, there are some times where people will meet in discussion and find common interests and walk out as friends together.
Sounds good to me. Well, if anybody in our audience is getting up to Anchorage, make sure you check out Resolution Brewing. It's on Mountain View, just before you would turn into the, can't remember the name of that shopping center now.
Yeah, Glen Square, above Bass Pro Shop, the next right after McDonald's on Mountain View Drive.
Okay, well, hey, Grant, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. I really appreciate it, and good luck in all your future endeavors.
All right, thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
All righty, this is KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, and I'm your host, Bill Howell. We'll be right back with our next segment.
Calling all KDLL listeners. Would you like to have a direct voice into what you hear on the air? KDLL is seeking members for its Community Advisory Board. The CAB meets quarterly to gather public input and evaluate how well KDLL programming meets the needs of the community. If this gets your ring of approval, contact Jenny at KDLL at info@kdll.org or 283-8433.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. Well, in this month's feature segment, I'd like to talk about the science of the hangover. If you've ever overindulged in the consumption of alcohol, it's likely you've experienced the medical phenomenon known colloquially as the hangover. Of course, there are other terms used to describe hangovers. Here are just some I managed to find within a few minutes of research online. Black dog, blue devils, bottle ache, bust head, carpenters in the forehead, crop sick, gallon distemper, hair ache, Jim jams, katzenjammer, morning fog, wooden mouth, the zings. Given that there's such a widespread health phenomenon, it's perhaps a bit surprising that scientists still don't fully understand the causes of hangovers. They do, however, have a scientific name for them, vasolagia. It's far from clear why, after all traces of alcohol have been fully expelled from your body, you can still experience a load of awful symptoms, including headache, dizziness, fatigue, nausea, stomach problems, drowsiness, sweating, excessive thirst, and cognitive fuzziness. The simplest and most familiar explanation is that drinking alcohol causes dehydration, both because it acts as a diuretic, increasing urine production, and because people who are drinking heavily for multiple hours probably aren't drinking much water during that time period. Alcohol keeps your body from producing a hormone called vasopressin, which regulates the amount of water your kidneys can hold. But studies examining the link between dehydration and hangovers have turned up some surprising data. One, for instance, found no correlation between high levels of the hormones associated with dehydration and the severity of a hangover. It's most likely that dehydration accounts for some of the symptoms of a hangover, dizziness, lightheadedness, and thirst, but that there are other factors at work as well. Most scientists believe that a hangover is driven by alcohol interfering with your body's natural balance of chemicals in a more complex way. One hypothesis is that in order to process alcohol, your body must convert the enzyme NAD+ into an alternate form, NADH. With an excess buildup of NADH and insufficient quantities of NAD+, the thinking goes, your cells are no longer capable of efficiently performing a number of metabolic activities, everything from absorbing glucose from the blood to regulating electrolyte levels. But this hypothesis, too, has been contradicted by data. In studies, people with severe hangovers weren't found to have lower levels of electrolytes or glucose in their blood. The most compelling theory, at least at the moment, is that hangovers result from a buildup of acetaldehyde, a toxic compound in the body. As the body processes alcohol, acetaldehyde is the very first byproduct, and it's estimated to be between 10 and 30 times as toxic as alcohol itself. In control studies, it's been found to cause symptoms such as sweating, skin flushing, nausea, and vomiting. These effects are compounded by something called glutamine rebound. As a depressant, alcohol dampens the body's production of a natural stimulant called glutamine. As soon as your drinking stops, your body tries to fix this by making a ton of the stuff. Since most folks do their serious drinking late at night, that means your brain is full of stimulants just as you're getting to sleep. That can make the grogginess of a hangover feel even worse. Hangovers could also be driven by the way alcohol messes with your immune system. Studies have found strong correlations between high levels of cytokines, molecules that the immune system uses for signaling, and hangover symptoms. Normally, the body might use cytokines to trigger a fever of inflammatory response to battle an infection, but it seems that excess alcohol consumption can also provoke cytokine release, leading to symptoms like muscle aches, fatigue, headache, or nausea, as well as cognitive effects like memory loss or irritation. Of course, this begs the question, why do some people get hangovers more easily? Life, alas, isn't fair. Some people are extremely prone to hangovers, and some can drink with impunity. It seems that genetics are partially to blame. Some people, disproportionately those of East Asian descent, have a mutation in their gene for the enzyme alcohol dehydrogenase that makes it much more effective in converting alcohol into the toxic acetaldehyde. Unfortunately, a significant part of this group also has a mutation in the gene for the enzyme that performs the next metabolic step, leading to a much slower conversion of acetaldehyde into acetic acid. As a result, excess buildup of acetaldehyde can happen quite rapidly. This is known to cause an immediate alcohol flush reaction, colloquially known as Asian glow, but might also play a role in hangovers the day after drinking. Why do some drinks cause hangovers more easily than others? Because the ultimate cause of a hangover is, after all, alcohol, drinks that pack more alcohol into a smaller volume are naturally more likely to give you a hangover. Shots of liquor, in other words, are more dangerous than mixed drinks, beer, or wine. There are other factors that affect who experiences hangovers most readily. After having the same number of drinks, women are more likely to experience hangovers than men, though this simply seems to be a result of the fact that women generally have a lower body weight as well. If you control for body weight and compare a man and a woman with the same blood alcohol content, their chances of a hangover are similar. There's conflicting evidence over whether hangovers become more frequent with age. Some studies have suggested that adolescents are less likely to experience hangovers, but a recent large-scale study showed the opposite, that even controlling for total alcohol consumption, drinkers over the age of 40 experienced fewer and less severe symptoms. The authors noted that it's possible, though, that they consume the same amount of alcohol but with less intensity, spreading their drinks out instead of binging. Beyond that, some drinks happen to have higher levels of congeners, trace chemicals produced during formation that contribute to hangovers. Studies have shown that high congener, darker colored liquors like bourbon and whiskey lead to more severe hangovers than lighter colored or clear liquors like vodka, which has none. A Dutch study systematically looked at the congener content and hangover risk of a variety of types of alcohol. It ranked various drink combinations by their congener content versus the severity of the hangover produced. The drink with the least congeners, pure ethanol mixed with orange juice, produced the least severe hangover, followed in order by beer, vodka, gin, white wine, whiskey, rum, red wine, and worst of all, brandy. One particular congener called methanol, also known as wood alcohol, found in the highest levels in whiskey and red wine, has received a large amount of the blame due to studies showing that it can linger in the body after all alcohol has been eliminated, perhaps accounting for the enduring effects of a hangover. Incidentally, this could explain the wide-held belief that mixing different sorts of liquors can cause a hangover. A greater variety of congeners could well lead to a wider variety of effects. It can't, however, explain any beliefs about the order of these drinks. Despite the age-old adage, liquor then beer, you're in the clear, beer then liquor, never been sicker. How can you prevent hangovers? The most effective solution is also the most obvious. Don't drink alcohol. Or, at the very least, don't drink to excess. If you're set on drinking, though, there are certain things you can do to minimize your chance of a hangover and the severity of its symptoms, and they're all pretty intuitive. Don't drink quickly on an empty stomach. Drink slowly, either on a full stomach or while eating. Food doesn't literally absorb the alcohol, but having a full digestive tract slows down the rate at which your body absorbs the drug. Additionally, even though dehydration is only partly to blame, it still plays a role, so staying hydrated while drinking alcohol can help. Finally, stop drinking a couple of hours before going to bed. If your head hits the pillow after your body has already started recovering, you might avoid that problematic glutamine rebound and get a good night's sleep. It won't keep you from feeling hungover, but you'll feel a little more human than you would have otherwise. How can you quickly cure a hangover? Is there a superfood drink ritual that can magically remove the after effects of a night spent binge drinking? Well, according to various local legends, you can cure a hangover by eating shrimp, that's Mexico, pickled herring, that's Germany, pickled plums, that's Japan, or drinking coffee in the U.S. The Chinese say strong green tea, while the Romanians believe tripe soup will do the trick. A number of popular foods and beverages, including Bloody Marys, Eggs Benedict, and Coca-Cola, were originally developed specifically to cure hangovers. Unfortunately, there's absolutely no evidence that any of these homespun remedies do anything to help. There's also no evidence that the so-called hair of the dog technique, that is drinking the morning after, has any effectiveness whatsoever. It might temporarily dull your senses, making you less aware of the hangover symptoms, but it does nothing to resolve the underlying physiological problems. And of course, it can just lead to another hangover. Other drinkers vouch for a variety of seemingly scientific cures, vitamin B or caffeine, for instance, but studies have also failed to show that these provide any relief either. So what can you actually do? You can lessen some of the symptoms with well-known over-the-counter drugs. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, such as aspirin or ibuprofen, can treat headaches and other pain, while you can take stomach relief medicines, say Tums or Pepto-Bismol, to reduce nausea. You should not take acetaminophen or Tylenol, because when the liver is processing alcohol, it's especially susceptible to acetaminophen's toxic effects. You can eat food, drink water, and rest. Some research recommends eating eggs, since they contain L-cysteine, which helps break down any lingering acetaldehyde. Bananas may help by replenishing potassium lost in your dehydrated stupor, and fresh fruit juices or smoothies might give you a sugar and vitamin boost without upsetting your stomach. Drinking sport drinks to boost your electrolytes isn't a terrible idea, and pickle juice is a cheaper alternative. However, whatever you may choose to eat at the moment, time is the only sure cure. We'll be right back with an interview with the people behind Bear Paw River Brewing. This is your host, Bill Howell, here on Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna.